Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based on our second lesson. We read there in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Instantly, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling in front of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his home. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Without delay, he and all his family were baptized. Then he brought Paul and Silas into his house and set food before them. He rejoiced because he and his whole household had come to believe in God. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Epiphany Savior, dearly loved by God. The meat of any religious discussion hangs on the bones of many questions. These questions are not, however, all of equal weight. They're all good questions if the asker is sincere and really wants to know. But not all of them are crucial. I'll suggest then also that we might say the same thing about the responses. The responses that we give in a religious discussion are all good if the person is truly interested, but some are not crucial. And by crucial, I mean essential. What are some of the questions in a religious discussion we hear when we are, like St. Peter says, ready to give an answer to the hope that we have? Those questions might include things such as, what is the difference among all the Lutheran churches? Or, why didn't Pastor Smith marry my aunt's second cousin? Or, what difference does it make what church I go to? Aren't they all the same? You likely have your own favorites. These are all good questions, and they deserve an answer. However, they are not all crucial, nor are our responses. Today, we are observing the festival of the baptism of our Lord. Today, Jesus placed himself under our baptism as part of his obedience. Today, the Father poured out the Holy Spirit and power on his Son, thus anointing him to begin the public work of redemption as our Savior. Today, now, Jesus would begin to preach and to teach and declare himself the Lord. In any religious discussion, Jesus' redemptive work is the meat. And in connection with Jesus' redemptive work, among all the peripheral questions and responses, there is the backbone question. There is the backbone response. It is the only crucial question, and it is the only crucial response. Look with me then this morning at the crucial response to the crucial question. The crucial question is, what must I do to be saved? The crucial response is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Paul and Silas had driven a demon out of a slave girl who had been telling fortunes, and she had been giving the money she earned to her masters. But now, of course, as this ceased, so did the income. And her masters were angry, and they called the magistrates and had Paul and Silas thrown into prison. All of this took place in Philippi, in northern Greece, early on Paul's second missionary journey, around 49-50 A.D. During the night after Paul and Silas had been in prison, a miraculous earthquake came and shook the prison to its foundations. The earthquake was so strong that by its power it cut loose Paul and Silas and all the prisoners from their shackles. And this was, of course, the Lord's hand. This earthquake did not only free the prisoners, but it put the fear of God, literally, into the heart of the jailer. The jailer at Philippi was no fool who said in his heart, there is no God. This jailer knew that there is a God, and this jailer did not want to stand before this God in the guilt of his sins. He feared death that would put him in front of that God. And in his case, this death would be self-inflicted as he took out a sword and prepared to commit suicide because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. And this was his punishment under Roman law. But after Paul and Silas told the trembling jailer, we are all here, then the jailer asked the crucial question. It is the essential question that everyone must ask as they face that dreadful thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. The jailer knew that he deserved the wages of his sin, death. And in his hopelessness, he foolishly thought that there was something that he could do himself to get off this path of self-murder and eternal death in hell that he was facing as it stretched out before him. The jailer knew he needed rescue from that God whose power had put him into this fearful condition. God continues to use the powers of nature to fill our hearts with the fear of death. Our own guilty consciences condemn us for breaking one sin, and we know that we do not want to stand before the face of the holy God. The very thought of standing before God fills us with even more fear and trembling than thinking about what if I had to stand naked and ashamed before a human judge, as he held in his hand the evidence of my crime and the sentence that would be my death. The jailer at Philippi's question, what must I do to be saved, is the crucial question. In our lives, the awareness of our sins, our sense of guilt, our fear of death, are all good things because they lead us to realize how crucial that question is and to ask that question. When we do evangelism or mission work, what we want to do is get people to come to the point where they ask that question. Or, if they are already there, to be ready to give them the one crucial response. All questions about faith, about religion, about spirituality are interesting. And they are worth an answer. They are worthy of a response when they are asked sincerely. But the crucial question, what must I do to be saved, has the crucial response. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. With a word, Paul and Silas changed that jailer's life and his future. I should say even better, with the word, Paul and Silas changed that jailer and his family's future. C.F.W. Walther, the father of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, wrote in a devotion that I read recently that the Word of God is the telescope into the heart of the Heavenly Father. And I thought that was really good. And think of that and apply that here, as now the jailer with that telescope of the Word could look into the heart of God and see God's love for him in Christ. He and his family could look through that telescope of the Word of God, and they could see their future in heaven, in peace before God, through the forgiveness of all their sins. How does the Holy Spirit save us through faith in Christ? The Holy Spirit, through the Word, creates faith, which is the hand that holds the righteousness of Christ in his perfect obedience under the law. The Holy Spirit creates in our hearts a trust that the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross was made in my place, and that sacrifice is the full payment of all my sin and guilt before God. The Holy Spirit saves us through Christ as he turns our thoughts away from our destructive self-righteousness and clothes us with the garments of Jesus' blood and righteousness. The jailer's new faith changed him from cruelty and indifference toward his fellow man to love and compassion for his brothers in Christ. The jailer took them home and washed their wounds. He set a meal before them. He now acted in love toward those former prisoners, Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas now baptized the jailer and his entire family. As the Word brought them to faith, now baptism would be God's pledge of his forgiveness of them in Christ. It would be the pledge of his good conscience that he would have now toward them, and that we can have toward him through the forgiveness of our sins. Holy baptism now for the jailer and his family was a seal and a strengthener of their faith. As quickly as this unnamed man appears on the pages of the Holy Scripture, he is gone. We really don't know what happened to him other than the next day, his officers told him to release Paul and Silas from prison. But St. Luke does tell us one thing. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. I can think of a couple, actually several, parallel situations as I look back on my ministry, where I had the opportunity to meet with someone who had that fear of death, who had that fear of standing before the holy God. I didn't have to get them to ask the crucial question. They were already asking it. What must I do to be saved? And thankfully I was able, as you are able, to give them the crucial response. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This is not, of course, telling them that there is something that they can do or they have to do. And we see that in the actions of Paul and Silas. After the jailer asked these questions, we read that they took the word of the Lord to him and to all others in his house. The jailer needed faith in Jesus to be saved. In order to have faith in Jesus, he had to know Jesus. He had to hear what Jesus did for them. And that was when Paul and Silas then took the word of the Lord to him. The jailer needed faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ, and the word of Christ comes as we share it with others. And then the Holy Spirit, through that word, then works that faith. This is really the goal of our personal evangelism, isn't it? This is really the goal of our support of mission work that we do as a congregation or that we do as a synod. To go to people who don't know the crucial question and with the word, get them to ask it. Or when we meet them and they're asking it, that in both cases then, we can give them that one thing that Mary said is needful, the word of Christ, that works faith in the hearts of men. Really, our work as Christians sharing the word is about one crucial question, and it's about one crucial response. What is essential for all people is to be saved. God has in Christ already saved the world. He has saved every sinner at his cross. And now it is our privilege as Christ's voice to tell all those people that are asking that crucial question, the good news that is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Amen.